Hurry into Gateway Buick GMC to experience 16 acres of Buick GMC and pre-owned luxury vehicles. It's the sale of the season with all-time low lease offers and 0% financing on select models. Only Gateway includes, at no extra charge, a lifetime warranty on your vehicle. Ask about select model specials on brand new vehicles. This means thousands off MSRP for you. Shop online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. Gateway, the right way.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Oh, sweet Wednesday. Yeah, this is great.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is 590 The Fan, KFNS. My name is Tim McKernan. I'm ranked number one. It's exciting. I appreciate it. But any list that does not have Charlie Marlowe on it is a list that I cannot support.
Thank you. Hear, hear.
And Monty.
Monty Hall?
That's correct. Replaced by Wayne Brady? I think.
Let's make a deal.
That's right. Guys, are you telling me that Ricky Paulding isn't on that list? Wow, that's from the Right City Lemming.
He had good ups.
That list sucks. Keaton Page changed the generation of basketball. That's from the Barnhart Brawler. Why is Iggy so infatuated with Satchel Page? It's because he has a dismembered hooker named Page in his satchel? Some Neil Allen, Craig Paquette?
I don't even think I mentioned Satchel Page, did I?
I think it's part of the setup for the text.
That was funny.
We're in the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Gateway, the right way, at I-270 McDonald Boulevard, online at stlouisbuickgmc.com, in the market for a new car. Are you in the market for a used car? Are you in the market to get your car serviced? Go to Gateway Buick GMC, I-270 McDonald Boulevard, online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. It's the home of the lifetime warranty at Gateway Buick GMC, located in Hazelwood, Missouri, off I-270 McDonald Boulevard. Gateway offers this lifetime warranty on any new or pre-owned vehicle. That type of program goes hand-in-hand with their commitment to serving you. Check them out online at stlouisbuickgmc.com or in person off I-270 McDonald Boulevard. This warranty is fantastic. Literally no cost to enjoy coverage you can count on. Only at Gateway Buick GMC. Rick Hummel's going to be with us coming up at 8:30. And the Hot Shots email today should be huge because we're giving away a pair of Cardinal tickets for Friday night's game. The Cardinals have great giveaways this weekend, including a replica 1987 mystery jersey. You won't know who's on your jersey until you enter Busch Stadium. Get your tickets today. Cardinals.com/promotions. Cardinals.com/promotions. What happened last night on Larry's Facebook Live? Did something go awry? I was interacting with him, but something, Plowhawk, happened.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as his Raw preview because usually his SmackDowns are about 10 minutes. His Raw previews are pretty much 22 to 25 minutes.
Yep.
But I think the comments were kind of confusing him, so you can take a listen. Yep.
And I'm going to say this right off the bat. If I don't have a legit question, I don't know what you're talking about. Anywho, I don't know what you guys are talking about. But anyway, I don't know what you're talking about, Brendan. Anywho,
clip that off.
I will go Foss after I get done with the show. By the way, I don't know about this paint behind me. I don't know who painted it. No, I'm not coughing right now. And I would do a little Bajan Engine Joe copy by Magic Man.
Carpet ride.
That looks like a picture behind me. It's probably from somewhere across the river.
Wow.
Charlie, that's what you're missing out. That's what you're missing out on.
I miss Larry. Is Larry still, I know for a while there, he was getting into the fitness and all that.
Yeah, he said yesterday, because I asked him what his favorite pizza was, or the cat asked him, and he said he's been cutting back on the pizza. And I said, oh, have you been losing weight? And he said, yeah, he weighs between 290 and 300. And then the Plowhawk played a clip where it said that he... Wait, what is he weigh? You have that.
I weigh between 275 and 290.
Right. So the point is that he weighs more. You're just doing the formula.
That's a wide delta.
Thank you. No, I mean,
I do not have a hammer toe.
Right.
I actually do have hammer toes.
Do you really?
I do.
What does Jess think
of that?
That
second toe after the big toe. She's not a big fan.
Oh, does it irk her?
No, I wouldn't say my feet are disgusting, but they're certainly not good looking. I also have a bunion.
I don't like when people brag.
Sorry. Cat, what's up? Looks like you're kind of conducting business.
Yeah, I was just emailing someone.
Shouldn't you be focused on the show you're being paid for?
Well, you were talking, so I didn't think it was that important. I was listening for Tim's comment.
And I did tweet at Vivian, so maybe she'll call in.
Thank you, Iggy, and thank you, the cat, and thank you, Charlie, and thank you, the Plowhawk, and Seamaster. Thank you. He is the man behind the glass. Guys, I might have to change my text inbox name to Carpet Ride Magic Man. That's from Doug's secret friend.
Anywho.
Larry's so lovable, though.
He is. I would say not
all-time great, Jack.
Not as lovable, I would imagine, if you're a female and he's invading your personal space, which happens from time to time.
Engine Joe, copyright Magic Man.
Guys, 101 is discussing Jameis Winston. Can we get some hot text takes, please? Thank you. It's from Potent Potable.
Can I tell you what I just hate overall about, and this is the national ESPN model, and I knew it was going to happen, but you tune in this morning for a second if you do, and they're talking about, of course, the comment from the quarterback from UCLA, Josh Rosen, about football and academics, and it's just, you just take that one quote, or you take that headline, and then you just talk about it ad nauseum for days and weeks, and every pundit gives their take.
Nice.
It's just so annoying, because you know exactly what's going to happen.
So then you embrace debate?
Cat, I'm tired of it.
Well, hit the bell or something, or hit the lemmings gong or something.
I'm going to be a father now, and I have to put up with this? Josh Rosen, go to school. You're getting your freaking education paid for. Throw the pigskin and stop complaining.
It may be a really bad comparison, but like I'd imagine... Like, Plowsy, if you get yourself, like, a really potent bag of that stuff that you mess with, and then you share it with a friend, you feel like you're really... I feel that way when you talk about the fact that you're going to have a kid or Timmy's about to be blessed as well. Like, I'm happy for you guys because it's going to be, like, the coolest thing. You can't even know how cool it is yet. You can't even know, but I know that you will experience it, and it makes me very happy for both.
Thank you, sir.
What a kind sentiment.
No, it's the truth. And it's a lot of work, and there's times that you're not going to sleep, and you're going to grouse about it. It's the greatest thing.
We discussed this yesterday on the Midday Grind, 12 to 3.
Thank you.
On this program here, this radio station, I should say. And we were wondering, would you be excited or happy if, let's say, 25 years from now, there was a show, and it was Tim's child, Tyler, my child, Martin's son,
no.
Carson, and then John Vaughn maybe is running the station?
No.
I would, knowing what we've experienced,
no.
I wouldn't want any of our kids to experience what we've experienced.
My kid will be an intern because I won't have a kid till like 35, so he'll be, 18 or 19.
I want my kid to be a player agent, work out of a fancy office, and golf a couple times a week in the middle of the day while he's shaping up a few deals.
2-3 hour lunches.
Yeah, that's what I want for my kid. I don't want him to have to come in here and just to do his job. There's all kinds of things he has to fight through like we've battled over the years.
Dan Caesar's kids writing in the post dispatch, making up stuff about him.
Yeah, he's like, Tim's kid and Jim's kid are fighting.
Dino's kid making fake Facebook profiles and ripping on our kids' shows.
Job, he sucks!
There's my young son right there.
I can't wait for the day you're like, what'd you do yesterday, Charlie? I took little Nico. I know you're
Nico.
The idea, Nico.
I didn't know you were gonna.
And we just had lunch and just hung around the house, played a little catch in the backyard.
I'm gonna say play catch, not have a catch.
Well, have a catch. You should have a catch.
Is have a catch East Coast?
Yeah.
No, have a catch is just Field of Dreams. That's it.
No,
it's never
wrong.
Been said anywhere else.
Well, have you been on the East Coast?
No, never. Never been there.
No, I mean, have you had any real experience with people on the East Coast in that regard?
I know you're
no.
a real New York guy, and that's
no,
why you know pizza
there.
Better than I do.
I'm just telling you, that's what they said, have a catch. I got no offense, Hayseed from Ohio telling me how people talk on the East Coast where I grew up there.
The
They say have a catch.
First of all, Angels. I grew up on Eastern Time Zone, all right, buddy? Nice. All I'm saying is I had never heard or have heard have a catch in my entire life anywhere I've ever lived or traveled.
Okay.
Except for Field of Dreams.
I hope that your son Nico is a masculine child who is smart enough to understand that if he hasn't lived in a part of the country, he may not know as much about it as he thinks he does. Thank you, Tim.
I gotta tell you, not specific to Charlie and his son, but I agree on that take.
Your overall take was good.
Yeah.
Specific to having a catch, I disagree with.
So we're all in agreement on the take. We're all in agreement. Guys, speaking of 101, Ryan Kelly was giving a live read just now. He called Bernie Doug by mistake. Bernie seemed less than pleased, almost as if a free dotum had been dropped.
Has there ever been a free dotum dropped on 101?
Apparently, I don't get a chance to listen to 101 as much as I would like. But apparently, there's a thing where they do trivia in the 4 o'clock hour. And... I guess Randy Carricker is like really, really good at trivia.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
He's a smart guy.
And so it's something where the listeners call in, they play him in trivia, and some of the listeners have dropped free dotums and then they like rush to get him off the phone.
You would think Randy would have a sense of humor about that.
I don't think Randy's necessarily Randy. I think it might be a management thing.
Not Brad Thompson. He's a good dude, too.
I don't think Brad Thompson is behind it either. No.
You know what we were saying yesterday, Charlie?
What's that?
We were saying it the day before when you were here. We don't like our show to impede in other people's shows. We don't, you know, we're not saying do that.
Get rid of the free dotum guy.
Right.
Whoever that
We don't want to mess with Gabe. Randy Carricker is a wonderful guy. We don't want to. But what I would like to see, and maybe I will hear about it if it does happen, if some of our listeners happen to be at the Cardinals game for Matt Adams' return. And when he gets an ovation, if they could help sort of extend it where it becomes uncomfortably long.
You guys bring the best out in the people that listen to this amazing show.
See? Wouldn't that be funny?
If it was like 3 minutes long. That would be great.
Absolute best.
Like, first of all, everyone likes Matt Adams. He's the nicest kid, right? And good for him. You know, the Cardinals made a deal, and now he's getting time, and he's playing very well in Atlanta. So he will get an ovation of some sort when he comes back. But what if our listeners somehow extended it to a point where it became a little uncomfortable for everybody?
I would love that. I would truly love that. And if I felt like there was a chance of it happening, I would be at the old ball yard on Friday night to help contribute. Haven't been to a game this year, but I would go for that. Let's see. You have to be born in a place to know anything about the place. That comes from St. Louis. You follow it? I don't follow
it. Yes, I think it means that people that aren't from St. Louis can't know about St. Louis because St. Louis is obviously the greatest place on earth to live. And if you've never lived anywhere else except St. Louis, then you say St. Louis is best because you've never experienced
it. If I'm able to do it, and I don't know if I'll be able to do it, but if I'm able to do it, I think it would be great to be able to take our young tyke, and if we have more than one tyke, and make sure they travel. See, my mom was on a plane with a bomb scare in 76 when she was pregnant with me, and then ever since has not gotten on a plane. I think people can understand that once you go through that experience. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we would drive everywhere, family vacations, and so I wasn't well-traveled at all. And so I remember going for the first time to New York City in 2000. Rammies, were you going on Rams trips back then when there wasn't just Cardinals? Rammies, Giants. Trent Green and Justin Watson were the starting quarterback and running back for that one because Warner and Falk were hurt. And I remember landing, and I didn't even know which buildings were which in New York. Now I realize, now keep in mind, this is 2000, so it's pre-September 11th. But I'm like, and we landed in Newark, so you can obviously see the Manhattan skyline, and you're like, wow, the Manhattan skyline's like 100 times, or maybe even more, the St. Louis skyline. What are those two buildings? I know about the Empire State Building, but I don't think that's it. And what's that other one there? Oh, that's the Chrysler. You just don't know. So I think it's, and then to Los Angeles or San Francisco until later, I just feel like it's helpful to get out and see things that are different. I still haven't been anywhere outside of, I haven't been to Europe or anything like that. So I think that stuff's helpful for young tykes. Could be wrong on that, but that's That's where I am. But I, had been, I hadn't been further west than Lawrence, Kansas until like 2000 when I went out on a trip for the Blues and Sharks in the playoffs. And there was a gentleman who had a little taste on that flight, and it caused a whole thing. it changed the Blues flying policy.
For a media member?
Was a media member. So I do agree with what you were saying regarding
and
that.
And I also hope, Tim and Charlie, that you don't have to experience what a caller did some years ago when we were at a station over a sex shop where they got a little swing set for their little girl, Molly.
Oh,
and it was stolen out of their backyard. The swing set was stolen. And they made a Hallmark movie on how they had to replace it and how the community came together. And the title of that film, I believe, was A Swing Set
for
Molly.
That's correct. That's correct.
But,
that's the name of the film.
You know,
Helen Mirren
was heartbroken,
played the mother.
But learned lessons along the way because the community came together and replaced that swing set.
This was the Hallmark Channel?
I think it was. I think it was, actually.
Was Jane Seymour in it?
I think she was the neighbor.
Kelly LeBrock.
It was the first motion picture excursion for Jim Hayes Enterprises. And let me tell you something.
It's a profitable venture.
We left a lot of subcontractors unpaid.
Tim, Mexico is the play for us Power Hoosiers. You should give it a try. I have been to Mexico. I'm talking about Europe.
They say he's even popular in Europe.
Had you been to Europe before your honeymoon?
Yes, I went to London and Ireland back in 2004.
How did you like it?
Loved it. And then when
the
I
food
went
is
those,
questionable. Is that accurate?
I would say that's true, especially
really?
London. I think just the English kind of there's always the fries everywhere. They got the mayonnaise. They got the butter. They don't put
it's terrible. The food
ice in the water.
They don't think they need air conditioning when it's 85 degrees. And so
I hear tell that's an Ireland thing.
It's all of that part of the land.
I thought Irish food, though, pretty good. You just go there, you sit down at the bar, you get your Guinness, whether it's 9 in the morning, 9 at night, and you get a nice hearty stew. You get some potatoes, you get some carrots.
And you like that.
Beef.
For breakfast.
I love that stuff.
That sounds
now,
awful.
When you're in Iceland, and there was a little father and son, and they wanted to...
Yeah, it was actually Thor.
They wanted to
and
go
Thor.
To the... And they would go to the fjord.
Sure.
To have a catch. What did they call? Didn't they say, like, toss the tamale or something? They had a different name.
They would throw big logs, kind of like the Highland Games.
My gosh!
As an homage to the Nordic people.
All right, I'll
people.
Let you two keep talking. I'm going to interview Rick Hummel. He's brought to you by 314 Sports. I have to blame you two as opposed to me, because that's what you do. That's good teamwork. Rick Hummel's brought to you by 314 Sports. 314 Training Academy features a 15,000-square-foot indoor facility in Brentwood. With the state-of-the-art HitTrax baseball simulator, 314sports.com. Commish, good morning, sir.
Hi, sirs. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much. It's one thing to rake on Homer Bailey. It's another thing to rake on Ian Kennedy. Both of them have been struggling as of late. But Jason Vargas has had some really good starts, and the Cardinals got to him last night. I thought the Cardinals may have gotten a really, really bad break on a call. I think it was in the Bonifacio at bat that I thought was an obvious strikeout. Yadier Molina, I don't think he was even framing it. I think it was just a blatant strike, and he was stunned that it wasn't a strike. And then they were repaid in the next half inning where Vargas thought he had a strike. I think it was on Jose Martinez. And then that wound up leading to Martinez getting a walk. Both of those could have been turning points in the game. For the Royals, it was not. For the Cardinals, it was. And it opened up the floodgates for a big inning. But when you see what the Cardinals have done offensively over the last 3 days, yes, the first couple pitchers have struggled, but Vargas is a different cat, and they got to him as well. What have you noticed anything that you can put a finger on that has led to the change in offense?
I think it's just the length of the season. They've got guys who have hit before. I think Fowler's return has been some energizing part of this. He looked like he's having a good time out there. He's running well. He's had, what, two doubles and a triple already, I think. And he's covering the outfield well. That gives him a little bit more pop. From they've been hitting him six, and they had a little bit of weakness from six to eight there for a while. And now Wong is hitting great at seven or eight, even nine one time. Gritchick is hitting. DeJong is hitting again. Carpenter is starting to really hit. The only guy who's not hitting now is the guy who carried him for a long time, is Pham.
And you talk about Dexter Fowler's return. didn't go out on a rehab. And when players miss some time, usually timing is a big issue. You mentioned he does look energetic. I don't know if whatever was bothering him has healed up. Maybe the heel is better. But he seems to have not missed a beat, which to me, I think he deserves a lot of credit because timing is always an issue.
Yeah, I mean, he got to hit a lot at home when the team was either home or in Milwaukee. He had a lot of batting practice at home. So the fact that he had only one day in Cincinnati wasn't that big a deal, I guess. And people can say whatever they want about their season, how disappointing it might have been. When you're 2.5 games out, it doesn't matter what your record is. You're in it.
And, Commish, in terms of Yadier Molina, obviously a lot of discussion the last couple weeks after the Instagram posts and all that, and we've all had the discussions about how much should he play or Carson Kelly now that he's on the roster. And basically since then, Yadier Molina has been unbelievably red hot at the plate.
Well, yeah, I remember last year he hit 365 or something the second half of the year. So that goes to his point that he'll let him know when he's tired. And Kelly's now on the Friar program pretty much. He's catching one game a week, and Yadi's catching them the rest of them. Now they've had, 3 days in a row there where they could get Yadi out early and give Kelly at least an at-bat or two because they've been so far ahead.
You know, when you look at playing in the Central, any team that goes on a little winning streak is right back in the middle of it, and that's where the Cardinals find themselves. But if you look at the bullpen since early July, their bullpen has actually been one of the best in baseball, so they've figured some things out, Rosenthal closing games out. And the starting pitching has been consistently good for a big part of the season. They are in position, if they can continue to get at least a little offense, to make a move, don't you think?
Absolutely. They need to get Wainwright straightened out a little bit with his finger. And I think his back's all right, but his finger troubled in the last game. And Leek has got to pitch better. He's going tonight, and he's going to have to be as more like he was in the first 2 months of the season and maybe the last 6 weeks or so. But Martinez pitched very well the other day. Walk has been terrific for a month and a half, and Lynn has been solid all year. See, their rotation was and is good enough. They were never going to fall completely out of it because they'll win low-run games once in a while with that pitching. They don't have to score 10 or 11 a night. If they'd scored like 5 in each of these last 3 games, they'd have won them all too because they only allowed 3 here a couple times.
And, Commish, last night, Michael Wacha has a quality start by definition, but just overall this year, as we enter this season, and Wacha was a question mark in terms of, there was even discussion about him in the bullpen and could his shoulder hold up, and I guess still that's a story to be told as we move, you know, here further in the season and his innings pile up, but he's been, I mean, so much better than what most people expected this season.
Well, he's got better stuff now than when he came up, when he was the sensation of the late season in 2013 and in the playoffs. He's got a curveball now that he didn't have before. His changeup is better, and he's throwing 96, 97, 98. And I don't think he threw that hard before either. So this is a new and improved version. Yeah, will he hold up? And they've been good about that. They gave him 11 days off twice this year between starts, and maybe there'll be another time later in the year when you would do that. But he's 6-1 in his last 8, so maybe no need for that. He started the season barely squeezing into the number 5 spot, which opened up when Reyes had his elbow surgery. So this is becoming a staff ace type guy coming from the number 5 spot.
They are financially committed to Stephen Piscotty, who clearly wasn't himself, so they sent him out. But if everyone on the current roster continues to mash, even when they get to expand the rosters, what does that mean for Piscotty in terms of getting meaningful playing time?
Well, that's a good question. He's going to have to earn his way back in, much as Grichuk had to. Grichuk is hitting long. He's not hitting for average, and maybe he never will. But he's had a couple home runs recently. Martinez's development has thrown another wrench into it, if that's the right word. He needs to play. He's been batting fourth during this run, and he's going to continue to bat fourth, I would think, until he cools off. So Fowler is going to play most every day. I would give Pham a day off maybe. He looks like he's dragging a little bit. He's really worked hard here, and maybe even tonight would be a good day to get him out and play Martinez in the outfield for 6 innings and bring in Pham for defense.
He is playing very well. From your experience talking to players, the 500 mark, I know it's big for fans. It just seems like that's a place where you can jump off from or start fresh. Is 500 even something that they consider? Do they look at their actual record or just how many games out they are?
Both. I mean, they have, the manager insists he didn't know they were at 500 or whatever, but that, you know, I don't know if I completely believe that. The players don't have 500 as a goal when you start the year, but when you spend 2 months every day under it, or more than 2 months, when you get there, that's a big deal. And no team has ever been to the playoffs in baseball under 500. So until you get to 500 and a little above, you can't be a contender. Well, now they've climbed above for the first time since June 1st. And the games behind have always been kind of relevant. They've never got more than about 5.5 here in the last, I don't know, a couple months or so, but now it's 2.5, and now they're over 500, and it doesn't matter if their record was, say, 61-52 after 113 games, and they were 2.5 out, people would say, hey, that's a good race. Well, the fact that they're 57-56 and 2.5 out makes no difference. It's the same deal.
Commish, what's the likelihood in the next 3 weeks or so, do you think, that if the Cardinals are still, let's say they're a half game out, a game out, tied in the standings, that John Mozeliak and the front office would make a move, not just something that could help them for 2018, because we know that's what they were looking for around the first trade deadline, but maybe adding a bat, a reliever that could help them just here in 2017, knowing that the ask probably wouldn't be too high on some of these guys?
You could do that. You could always improve your pitching staff depth because guys get hurt or they get worn down or whatever. A big bat would be unlikely to bring in here. And you got, I mean, Piscotty is theoretically a big bat. He was your leading RBI guy last year. So he's going to be back. Diaz is going to be back. You know, who was your 300 last year, made the All-Star team. So they got two bats sitting there at Memphis. And they have pitching they can bring up too. You will probably see Flaherty up here in September. You'll surely see Weaver up here. And but, yeah, they could go outside the organization and pick and make a minor transaction if they hang in there. I don't know that anything major is going to happen, but they have enough. And their competition, while estimable, there's nobody's going to run off with this thing. The Cubs have had numerous chances to take off with this thing, and they've declined.
Rick Hummel with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Tim McKernan, Charlie Marlowe, Jim Hayes with you on the radio program. Commish, we were discussing yesterday Jeff Passan's column, and he said, in his opinion, Yadier Molina is not a Hall of Famer at this moment. You are. What is your opinion of Yadier Molina's Hall of Fame prospects?
Well, I think they're very good. I would say he's probably not there just yet, but he's going to catch a couple more years as a regular anyway. He may get another Gold Glove or two, which would get him up to 9 or 10, and those add up. He's had, what, five, I think, 300 seasons. I mean, you can't look at his power. That's not his game. Everything else is Hall of Fame worthy, and as far as his defense and his batting average. So I think not yet, but if he plays like this for another couple of years, then I say yes.
And the reason why we started getting into a discussion about it is that I feel like in St. Louis, it's the opinion of the majority of the fan base, and I put it on Twitter, and granted, that's not scientific, but it was 2,000 votes, and I think it was 83-84% of the people responded said yes, he will be a Hall of Famer. But if you ask nationally, and understandably, any fan base is going to have a higher opinion of their player. It's not exclusive to St. Louis, but if you ask nationally, I think there'd be a healthy disparity on that 84%, and I think it'd be below 50% of baseball fans. And so I brought up the Jim Edmonds thing, and how Edmonds, while I don't think there were a number of people saying he is an automatic Hall of Famer, there were a number of people who thought that he was at least in the discussion, but then only was on the ballot for 1 year. And as I would imagine you would acknowledge, that was a unique year regarding the ballot. And Jim was the innocent bystander, so to speak, in that circumstance. But if you're going to compare the two to get into the discussion about Molina's Hall of Fame prospects, potentially Edmonds' unfortunate circumstance would be an illustration as to pump the brakes. How do you view Edmonds and being only on the ballot 1 year and then a comparison with Molina?
That's a good comparison. I thought Edmonds would surely last more than 1 year. He didn't get to 400 home runs, which used to be a magical number, and I guess maybe in some voters' minds it is for a, a non-catcher to not hit 400 home runs. But defense doesn't get much cachet in the Hall of Fame balloting, unfortunately. Ozzie Smith was one of the great defenders of our time, but if he hadn't had 2,600 hits, maybe he wouldn't have been a first ballot guy. I don't know. He should have been, and he was. So that's always going to be out there, I think. You look at Molina's home runs, you look at his bubblegum card, as they say, and his home runs, he's got over 100 home runs, but that's about it. You know, that's nothing spectacular. But that's a guy, if you watch him play every day, if you've had polled the players in the league the last 12 or 13 years, they'd say he's a Hall of Famer because of the way he controls the running game, the way he handles the pitching staff, plus the fact he can hit 300.
Yeah, on the Edmonds thing, you said it was a good comparison. And as memory serves, first off, you had Griffey on the ballot with him, so that was just going to automatically be an unfortunate foil. You're talking about a 60 WAR guy versus an 84, I think, wins above replacement with Griffey and considered one of the all-time greats, even though obviously things tailed off once he left Seattle and dealt with the injuries. But then you also had a number of guys who had some sympathy and also an interest from some of the voters to make sure that they would get votes because it was one of their last years on the ballot, and it was just one of those rare years where there wasn't enough room, I think, for Edmonds. Is that how you recall what played out there?
Yeah, and I liken it to the year that Ozzie went in. Alan Trammell was on the ballot for the first time that year, and anybody, I know the Cardinals didn't play the Tigers and Interleague play them, but anybody who saw Alan Trammell play for double-figure years with the Tigers and some of those really good clubs they had, he was a tremendous player. And he got no support the first year because people viewed him as the second-best shortstop on the ballot. Well, he was, but that doesn't mean he's not a Hall of Famer.
Right, right. Yeah, and unfortunately,
and he never caught up. You know, his elections are gone now. He started off at like 10 or 11%. Well, you can't make it.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Exactly right. I don't know if Edmonds will ever get, 15 years from now, that or 13 years, I guess, Veterans Committee? Is that how?
Well, he has to go through the 15, no, it's now 10 years.
10 years,
he
okay.
He would have been on the ballot. So let's say he's got 8 years to go now then. And then after that, it depends what era it is. So it'd be roughly 10 years before he'd be considered, which isn't too bad. It's better than 15 as it was before.
Right. But you think nationally the appreciation for Molina is strong, even if the baseball card numbers, as you said, aren't necessarily reflective of his impact on this team's success, really, since he has been the starting catcher over the last 12 seasons?
Well, you'd like to think it would be strong, but we don't know that.
Right, that's what I'm wondering. And I was wondering if you ever get in discussions with some of your cohorts on his
A little bit. I think it's not as strong as we'd like to see it, but maybe before his time comes up, he won't be on the ballot for, I would think, 5 to 8 years anyway. That maybe defense will have gained more stature in the minds of the voters. And maybe he'll have, if he gets a 10 gold glove, that's going to be hard to throw out there. And he could be on 10 all-star teams, too. Not many guys have done those two things and not made a Hall of Fame mark.
Rick Hummel, brought to you here by 314 Sports every Wednesday on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Joining us on the Appliances Counter Phone Lines. Commission, appreciate the time, sir.
Thank you, sir.
There he is, Rick Hummel with us here on 590 The Fan KFNS. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Charlie Marlowe in for Douglas Elvin Vaughn on the radio program. Your thoughts on what he had to say, 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. That's how you can get involved on this award-winning radio program. Plus, email in for the Hot Shots email today, a pair of Cardinal tickets for Friday's game, the prize for the Hot Shots email of the day. Shave up real nice, just like I did, with Harry's Razors. Harry's Razors will make your skin soft and smooth, just like they've made my skin so soft and smooth. Save time and money with Harry's. They're able to provide you an amazing quality shave at an affordable price by owning the factory and taking less profits. They pass those savings directly on to you. Over 3 million guys have made the switch to Harry's, 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Great news. Harry's is so confident you will love their blades. They're giving you their set for free. Just cover shipping. Your free trial set includes ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover. And we have partnered with Harry's to bring you this incredible offer. Head over to harrys.com/insidestl To get it now, get started with Harry's today and get their free trial offer for free. All you do is cover just a few bucks in shipping. To get your free trial set, including a handle, blade, shave gel, and travel blade cover, go to harrys.com/insidestl. That's harrys.com/insidestl. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today. And I think that pause really drove it home. Yeah, I think
I was like, wait, what's he going to say next?
Right, that was very Rome-esque. Hey, some save the dates for you. We have TMA Live at Hot Shots a week from tomorrow, Hot Shots Fenton. And the Seamaster has 7 sets of Cardinal tickets for Foot Fetish Friday. So this could be a Foot Fetish Friday for the ages. Especially we'll be celebrating less than a year out from playing the PGA Championship at Bellerive, and I would think that would help. September 9th and September 10th, Lou Fest, Charlie Snoop Dogg will be performing.
And Weezer, right?
Yeah, Weezer.
I want to go to that.
September 30th, Wiffle Ball Tournament at Francis Park. How about that? It's presented by Bud Select and Gold's Gym. And then on October 5th, the Lemmings Open at Aberdeen. I have never played Aberdeen. The Lemmings Open in Aberdeen. Iggy, you played Aberdeen? Assume you have?
I have.
Links course.
Very nice course.
So there it is. Save those dates. We posted it on the fan page yesterday. Really, if you're not a member of the fan page, can you really be considered a listener of the show? Can you?
Well, I'm not on the fan page.
But you're not a listener.
But I'm listening to you right now.
Looks true. Like Iggy was sending a Snapchat when you came to him there. That just appeared on the board. Seamaster, do you just narc on Iggy? Is that what just happened? You're overlooking him from the back and then...
Yeah, I'm Snapchatting.
With Vivian Azure.
Vivian Azure.
Oh, she's on Snapchat?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to follow her. It's going to be the first thing I've done with Snapchat in like 8 months.
V-I-V-I. Vivi Azure 1.
Okay. Get on that.
So I just said call us and then give the phone number.
Is she going to join us?
I don't know. Mm. We tweeted at her.
V-I what?
V-I-V-I. Mm-hmm. Azure 1.
Mm.
Just tell her we want to talk about the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, that'd get her going.
Maybe Donaldson. Could he come here in the offseason?
Nice take. Nice. He had 2 home runs last night.
Mm-hmm.
15 on the year. In case you're curious.
Good slugger.
Nice take.
Thank you.
You're welcome to get involved in the radio program. Text in, email in 855-282-8255. Tim, can we talk about the Pirates? That's from Goat Boy.
Why?
They've won 3 in a row. They're a game back of the Cardinals.
As long as we're not talking about that other team.
The Reds.
What?
See?
Don't know.
What do you got against Cincinnati?
I don't acknowledge them, according to a texter.
Did you know?
At the beginning of the season.
Obviously you're trying to do that.
I love that dude's voice, though. He's got a really cool, kind of raspy, twangy voice.
Yeah.
Kind of bro-ish.
It almost seems natural. I like Mr. Hummel, but it's kind of insulting that he's in the Hall of Fame and Tim isn't. Thanks. That's from Timmy Tomton.
I wasn't going to say it, but I'm glad someone did.
I feel like, though, there's a recent groundswell for... That was a very light gong ring, and I appreciated it. let's see. The greatest catcher ever loves everything about Yadi, and he's a rival. He's Johnny Bench. I don't know. I mean, you can read it right there. I don't know what it means. This Yadier Molina thing gets people going on the Twitter tweets. I mean, that's Rick Hummel. He's in the Hall of Fame. He wasn't saying he won't be. He's just saying it's probably not as strong as some Cardinal fans think it is. And that is not a personal attack on anyone. It's an observation.
I think Yadi, though, he will have a lot of memorable moments for national baseball fans and writers. Even, and look, I'm not saying the World Baseball Classic should influence Hall of Fame, but he was kind of the leader of that team. And you remember, if you're just watching SportsCenter for that period of time, and he's got the blonde hair, and they're winning games, and he's smiling, he's having fun, and at the All-Star game, and you rack up a bunch of All-Star games, a bunch of gold gloves, and you think of him and Albert and Wainwright as kind of the core players from a Cardinals team that wins at least 2 World Series. Maybe they win one more before he's done. I don't know. But I'm just saying, I do think that Yadi will have accomplishments that will make it tougher for people to leave him out. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's getting in, but you look at the numbers, especially offensively, you say, okay, but then you're like, Couple World Series, a bunch of Gold Gloves, bunch of All Stars.
Some you sound memorable like an old moments. Guy in a diner.
No, I think that stuff matters.
I think it does matter, and like I'm not saying it's a slam dunk. I'm just saying I think it'll happen based on the fact that the writers who vote him in hold him in higher regard. I haven't polled everyone, but generally speaking, than say the average fan outside of St. Louis. So I think his chances are actually good.
It is interesting, though, how sometimes defense isn't valued. And I was looking up. Now, look, David Ortiz, we know he's a great hitter. But the fact that the dude never brought a glove basically to the ballpark for the last 15 years of his career. So I'm guessing most people would say David Ortiz, shoo-in to the Hall of Fame. Now, Edgar Martinez doesn't get in. So here's Jim Edmonds. And again, you look at his offensive numbers. Are they as good as David Ortiz's? No, not overall. They're pretty damn good. But then it's like his defense. How do you equate the fact that David Ortiz gave you nothing on the other side of the ball? He gave you zero defensively, yet he's going to be a shoo-in? And that's when WAR comes into play. I mean, Jim Edmonds was out there defensively providing value.
Let me ask you a question. Can I ask?
Please.
Thank you. How do you view Andrew Jones? Andrew Jones. Thank you. In his Hall of Fame candidacy, which he will be on the ballot, I believe, this December for the first time.
And I'll look at his numbers right now, but I'm guessing it's kind of like Jim Edmonds.
From a WAR standpoint, you are correct.
So again, I'm not saying either should be Hall of Famers, but both of them deserve discussion past 1 year.
And for the record, Edmonds has a higher WAR than David Ortiz.
And that's the thing, because David Ortiz provides you no WAR, no value at all defensively.
What about the steroids? That doesn't stop anybody with Big Poppy?
Oh, no. I think that should be part of the conversation. I just think he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer because he's Big Poppy.
I think it speaks to more narratives sweeping people either in or sweeping people out than actual research.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, and I think that's unfortunate, which again goes back to something we were discussing at this point 24 hours ago when we got on the Molina Hall of Fame discussion because of the Jeff Passan column. That's the news peg for those of you wondering, in which he said Yadier Molina is not a Hall of Famer, which I think the majority of baseball fans around the country right now would say as well. 84% of Cardinal fans say he is. Again, that's not Cardinal fans are so weird. You know, you could ask, put a poll in New York City right now if Jay Bruce is a Hall of Famer, and 70% might say yes. So it's fans have their preferences in their respective markets. But when discussing the Hall of Fame and Edmonds, the context is that ballot. And I thought that was a good observation on Alan Trammell. That's a guy who there became a swell for, but it was too late because he started on the ballot up against Ozzie Smith in the offseason of 2001. Ozzie went in July of 2002. And he started at 10%, and it was just too much of a mountain to overcome. So it sounds like Rick Hummel thinks there's a chance for Edmonds, the Veterans Committee. And he made the observation that defense is not appreciated. I think it might be starting to gain more appreciation now than it was before. And I think in part because of defensive metrics. But yes, if your focus is going to be on wins above replacement, David Ortiz is 55.4. Edmonds is 60.4, I think. And on Andrew. Thank you. His is 62. Yadier Molina's, for the record, is 34.
Yeah, I think Edmonds, it's so ridiculous that he's only on there for a year. That'll be corrected at some point.
Really? More, so you think like he gets in?
I think the Veterans Committee will have something to say about it, and I'm not so sure who's on the Veterans Committee. Maybe they're not using defensive metrics, but Edmonds is one of those transformative defensive players that you don't need any defensive metrics to know his value. He's got highlight films doing things that really no one's ever done before defensively.
Guys, Ortiz also played in Boston, signed Smitty.
Yeah.
Now, that he was part of the team that ended the curse, won 3 world championships. Cardinals really competed. And then the Rockies, I mean, that's a World Series that I don't know if anyone remembers, including people in Denver and Boston, the 2007 World Series. So that, of course, factors into it, 3 world championships, understandably. Guys, national media is soft. Writers will vote Yachty Hall of Fame to avoid having shade thrown their direction on Instagram. Tired of it. FS1 Doug.
That's funny.
Thank you.
I grew up watching a lot of Detroit Tigers baseball, and just when you say Alan Trammell, I know a lot of people also bring up Lou Whitaker.
Sweet Lou.
Sweet Lou. Great double play combo, though, there. I just, when I hear the name Alan Trammell, Lou Whitaker, Jim Edmonds, Yadier Molina, and I'm not just pandering because I'm in St. Louis now, I feel like both Edmonds and Molina are better overall candidates for the Hall than Alan Trammell and Lou Whitaker.
Agree. I don't know if everyone would agree with you, but I do.
But again, and of course, Norm Cash. But then that speaks to what I was talking about yesterday, is the truth is how much, and I'm not saying that people haven't, but how much now you have, how much, you know, I can't speak really to so many American League teams. I really can't speak to, and you get caught up. It's how gambling works. Lines are moved by coverage. So, for example, we were talking about the DraftKings teams. And if there's a little piece of news that gets on ESPN regarding so-and-so and their success at Quail Hollow, where the PGA Championship gets underway in 24 hours, that will impact more people having ownership of a player on DraftKings. And therefore, if you're aware of that, game theory dictates that you then move away from that player. So it's the counterintuitive play. The point being, you hear more about certain players because they either played for the Yankees or the Red Sox, and therefore it advances their star power, which then helps sweep the narrative along. And then when you say, well, hold on a second, I mean, if you take a look at wins above replacement, Jim Edmonds has a better one than David Ortiz, they'd almost go into like a fake news convulsion, but it actually is the metric. You can't really argue with the math. But you're so caught up in the narrative that the math seems like it has to be untrue, but that's a fact. And obviously one of the large parts is because defense. But defense is a huge part of the game. And Ozzie Smith having 2,600 hits, I don't really feel like that was really even mentioned. It was just a foregone conclusion he was going to go into the Baseball Hall of Fame on the first ballot. Fine. Great. As a Cardinal fan, and especially that was my guy, him, Vince Coleman, and Willie McGee growing up. But if that's the case, then I don't understand how it wasn't the same case for Jim Edmonds, and then along those lines, wouldn't be the same case for Yadier Molina. I don't know. And then is the difference the 2,600 hits? I don't know. I don't think Ozzie Smith was ever considered a great offensive player. He had 303 in 1987, and he was in the mix for the MVP, but obviously not from a power standpoint. Speed, average, made himself a good hitter. I don't know. Ryan Kelly is the title sponsor of this radio program, and we appreciate it that he weaves in Doug's name when he goes on other radio stations. That helps our cause, and we tip our cap to him for doing so. He is the home loan expert. You can find him at thehomeloanexpert.com. They're saying 2017 will be in one of the hottest real estate markets in years, even bigger than last year when houses were selling the same day they were hitting the market. If you were even considering buying a house this year, you need to call the home loan expert. He's our guy. He's a listener of the show, and he's also the home loan expert. Go online at thehomeloanexpert.com. Ryan Kelly and the home loan expert team work hard so you don't have to. If you are looking to refinance or purchase a home, why would you go anywhere else? Call Ryan at 314-781-9700 or visit thehomeloanexpert.com. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Charlie Marlowe in for Douglas Elvin Vaughn. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.